Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Talk To Me Sports Radio Network.
Coming to you every Thursday from 8:30 to 9:30 on the East Coast time and from 5:30 to 6:30 on the West Coast. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you how much I appreciate the listeners that tune in every week to the Dan Hardy Show. Hopefully what we give you during this hour is something compelling, and we give you a little twist of sports from an African-American perspective. So we appreciate you, and we realize without the listeners, there is no Dan Hardy Show. So we got a really impactful, exciting show tonight. We have a fallen angel, if you will. That's right. We're going to talk to Markeith and Marcus Morris' mother. And her name is actually Angel, but we're going to get into why I say she's actually a godsend and a falling angel. So we're going to talk to her about what it was like to have two sons drafted in the first round of the NBA. What were some of the challenges that she had to face? What is the process like going from high school to college? And how did she deal with all the recruiters calling her sons, calling her, wanting them to come to their school? So we're going to talk to Angel about some of the things that she's experienced. We're also going to chop it up with Mark Macon again. Lottery pick. That's right. Tonight, this is basketball tonight. We have some mega folks on the show tonight. We're going to talk to Mark Macon again. Lottery pick. Mark's going to talk to us about the Final Four. What does he see happening on Saturday? Who was his pick to win it all? We're also going to talk to Mark about who's on the rise in the NBA, San Antonio, who's on the fall lately, Indianapolis, and what does he think about possibly Miami three-peat? And then towards the final hour, we're going to bring Never Nervous Purvis to talk to us as well. Number one overall pick of the draft, MVP in the Final Four. And he's going to talk to us about the pressure that being the man on campus as a freshman, when he was a freshman, what kind of pressure did he have being the man on campus? What was the pressure for him to turn pro after a couple of years, although he stayed all 4 years? We'll find out why did he stay all 4 years and what he's doing now. Before I go to Ms. Morris, what I'd like to do is quickly give my Hit It and Quit It segment. As the listeners know, we are officially covering the Dodgers. Next week I'll be in Dodger Stadium, next Wednesday covering the Dodgers. There's a couple of things that really worry me about the Dodgers as they move forward. Off to a phenomenal start right now. One loss. They're 3-4-5 hitters. If they start to pick it up, this team is something to watch out. They're the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. Our boy Matt Kemp will make his first start tomorrow. He's been out of the lineup for a long time. We wish Matt Kemp the best of luck because, truly, he's a phenomenal athlete. So I hope everything goes well with his ankle. I hope he's able to recover and get back to all-star form. Clayton Kershaw. he's out. The story has 1 month, 2 months. He has back problems. Now, those who are waiting the Masters know that Tiger is going to be out because of back surgery. Now, Clayton Kershaw has the same kind of injury that another gentleman had that sidelined him for about 3 months. How will the Dodgers be able to manage? Now, they have a solid pitching staff, but how will they be able to manage without Clayton Kershaw if it means going into June or July without Clayton Kershaw? More news at 11. Yasiel Puig, he's off to a nice start. I just hope that the brother wraps his arms around somebody mentoring him, because right now out in L.A., everybody loves him. This is a city where everybody speaks his language for the most part, and I just hope he doesn't get caught up in the stardom that goes with being in L.A. and being a player of Spanish-speaking descent. So we hope he can stay focused because he has a lot of talent. They had a press conference where he met with his team, closed-door meeting with his team, and just wanted to air out some things and wanted to get his team's feedback. Now, management said that, you know, everything went well, and they also said, we want Yasiel Puig to stay here. When you kind of say you want somebody to stay here, to me that brings up a red flag, because maybe you or somebody in management is talking about, well, what can we maybe get somebody for him, trade for him? I don't know if that's the case, but I wouldn't even bring up we want him to stay here if that's a given. But if you're thinking about trading him or trading him for somebody else that's more solid, hey, this guy's a phenomenal athlete. He's just got to wrap his mind around getting a mentor and doing the right thing on and off the field, because like my mother used to say, 90% of the game is mental. So more news at 11 regarding Yasiel Puig. Okay, I'm done with my hit it and quit it segment. I'll give you my final four at the end. I'll also talk to you about what I think about the Pacers when I chop it up with Mark. But right now, what I'd like to do is go to Philadelphia and talk to Angel Morris. As I said, Miss Morris has been fortunate to have twins that are phenomenal athletes. Both of them actually play on the Phoenix Suns. I watched part of the game last night when they were playing the Clippers, and at one point I believe her sons were 8-for-9 in one quarter, missed one shot between the both of them. So what I'd like to do is bring Angel on the phone to talk to us on the Dan Hardy Show. Angel, are you on?
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I know you have a busy schedule, and we'll get into how busy your schedule is, but we really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
Angel, I want to know, just as well as the listeners, walk me through when you knew your twins were something special. Tell me when you knew they were something special, and how or what were you able to do to keep those two guys grounded?
I thought they were special when two, AAU coaches came to my house and asked could they play on their basketball team. Their junior high school coach came to the house and said he thought they were too tall to be playing football and they should be playing basketball.
So you have AAU coaches coming to the house, junior mm-hmm. high school coaches coming to the house. At what age were Marcus and Markeith when they were starting to come to your house?
I went around 14.
Okay, so 14 years old, mom's being recruited already by AAU coaches, junior high coaches, go to our school, play in this AAU league. obviously the boys thought they were pretty good. They were better than the other 14, 15, 16, probably 17-year-old kids that they were playing against. Tell me, Angel, what were you able to do? Go ahead.
I don't think so, because they wanted to play football. I thought they was too tall to play football, but it was something that just kept them off the street without having anything to do after school. So I let them play football until the junior high school coach said, no, they shouldn't be playing football. They should play basketball. And they didn't want to play basketball. They wanted to play football. Let them play football, and then the AAU coach, couple AAU coaches said, no, I think they should play basketball. So that's how we got introduced to basketball, because we weren't playing basketball any time before that. We just was playing football.
Now, football, basketball, your position, mm-hmm. were they better in football? Looking back at it retrospectively, obviously basketball is probably a longer career, but do you feel as though Marcus and Markeith were better in football, or what one was better in football?
They actually played football for Little League really good. They played football. I think Marcus was a quarterback. I can't remember what Markeith was. Markeith could never make the weight, so they used to switch on each other. But I think basketball was just fun to them. I think they just was like, okay, well, maybe we should try basketball. Well, I said maybe you should try basketball. At least if you don't like it, then you can go back to football. So I think Marcus was the better player. Yes.
Okay. So obviously we know how the story ends. They play basketball. They get drafted in the first round back-to-back behind each other. Let me ask you an important question, because there's a lot of mothers that are listening to the show. As a mother that was the head of the household, how were you able to keep them grounded when they knew that they were going to go and play big-time basketball in college? How were you able to keep both of your boys grounded?
Well, you know, in the church, they always say that it takes a village to keep your family together. And I would just always talk to my children. Like, you know, the street, you have to have something else to do besides be on the street. Education was more important to me, but having them to be able to just play basketball or just not be bad children, to me, I think that parents should always talk to their children. And it's just like a relationship. If you talk to your children more and tell them what you think is best and what you think is good, then at some point they'll get it. Because once you say the bad things, kids always think that parents don't know what they're talking about. Like, this stuff over here is bad, don't you get into it. And kids always try it because they don't think that we know what we're talking about. And then when they do try it, they get come back and say, well, my mom and my dad, they told me not to do that. So with the free time that I did have with them, I would always talk to them. If I thought, they would always talk to me too. If they thought they didn't play basketball well, they would say, Mom, I don't think I'm doing this right. And I would always say, well, coaches, that's for the coach to do. Let the coach do that. I need to be the parent on the other end saying, maybe that is, maybe that's not right, but talk to the coach.
You're one of the few that offer that kind of advice, because trust me, there's a ton of parents that want to be the coach, want to be the cheerleader, and they don't know the difference between I'm here to support you, but I'm not the coach. So I commend you for that. Now let me transition into high school. They're being recruited, and if I'm correct, Coach Calipari initially recruited your sons to come to Memphis. There was other big time schools that were recruiting the twins to come play for them. Walk us through the recruiting process and how did you play a part in their choices?
Well, the recruiting process is a big process. Sometimes as a parent, you don't want to go through it, but you need to. I would advise every parent to find somebody that know what they're doing before they go through the recruiting process. And I would also advise parents to find out if their children, this is the number one thing that they need to do for parents that children are being recruited. They need to find out from the school if their children have all their core courses, because being recruited, it's a big time thing, but if your children don't have all of the core courses, recruiting can't be a good thing, because then you gotta hope that your kids get the courses that they need to be able to be recruited.
Now that's a good point, because we have Del Greco come on, and you're friends with Del Greco, and he comes on every week, and he stresses the nuances around being recruited, making sure that your children have the right courses, taking the right classes, and it doesn't start your senior year. If you're looking into it your senior year, you'd have missed the train, because you know that your sophomore year, these kids should be taking certain courses, and pretty much I would venture to say that, Ms. Morris, you probably knew that your sons sophomore year and junior year had what it took to go Division I and play Division I ball. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is to the parents out there, make sure that you are in lockstep with the process before it's too late. Understand what are the courses that need to be taken, and make sure that your child is doing the appropriate things or having the appropriate tutors if they need them before their senior year. Because once the senior year comes around, you're scrambling, and you don't want them to be scrambling to get their child in to a four-year school for free.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you talk to, you can talk to people like Del Greco. You can talk to AAU coaches. You have to find somebody to know exactly what it is that the kids should have before you be so excited about your kids playing basketball. Everybody could be excited about their children playing basketball and hope that they're going to the next level and want this kid for college, but you need to know by the time sophomore year gets here, what exactly is it that they need to go to college?
That's a great point. I'm going to transition into the reason why I called you a godsend or a falling angel, if you will, because the listeners that are tuned in, Angel had an opportunity to, her sons played with Thomas Robinson, who was also a first-round pick, the number five pick of the draft. And Angel, can you walk us through, Robinson lost his grandparents and his mother within the same year. And if I'm correct, his mother asked you to take care of her son and watch out for her son. Walk us through what happened and how are you now linked with Thomas Robinson?
when Thomas came to Kansas, his mother, he came to visit me, and he said that his mother wanted to talk to me. And I'm like, why? You here? So I called her, and I talked to her. Thomas has high blood pressure. And
okay. She
wanted me to make sure that he took his medicine. And in the process, we both found out that we were from the same city, and she asked me to look out for her son. So I did, and I want to go back to the grandparent. Thomas's grandmother died 1 week. The following week, grandfather died. The same exact week that his grandfather died, his mother died. That was, for an 18-year-old, the most devastating thing that ever could happen to a kid. When she was sick, she asked me to take care of Thomas, and I said, okay, she said, I just want you to promise me that you will always take care of him no matter what, whether I'm here or whether I'm not here. He has made this bond with your children, and she made the bond with my children without even knowing them. She fostered the twins because Thomas came the year after the twins, so she followed the twins in high school, and she just loved the twins, so she asked me to take care of Thomas. That kid was broken. I mean, an adult should be broken from the devastation of that incident happening to him. I took the kid, I took Thomas, and I did the same thing. I talked to him. I nurtured him. I got counseling for him, got counseling through the school, got counseling through the church. And the twins left a year before he did, and I promised him that I would stay another year with him. I think that he thought that the NBA may have pity on him because of what happened and that he could play basketball to be able to go to the next level, but I didn't think that. He wanted to enroll in the NBA the same year as the twins did, and I wouldn't allow it because he wasn't ready. He didn't play basketball to the standards of being a professional player. And he cried, and we went to counseling, and he cried, and he pouted, and I'm going to leave school, and you can't tell me that I can't. And I just stood my ground and said, I won't allow you to go to the NBA. So it was hard, but we're on the right track now. We're on a good track, and we still go through a lot. Thomas is just 23. So he still doesn't, he still thinks that his mother is being here. You know, it was really hard. It was hard for all of us. It was hard for the whole team. We were like one big family. It was hard for me to, there was something that I never did, took another child in, you know, because there wasn't no parents, but he's mine and he's going to be mine for the rest of his life, no matter what happened. And I wouldn't only do it for him, I would do it for any kid. Any children, parents that need help, any kids that need help, and I don't need anything from them. I think God has blessed me in a good way, and that just fell in my lap, and that's what we're here for, as adults.
What I want to do, Angel, can I place you on hold for a second and come back to you? Because this is, I'm just sitting here and I think me as well as the listeners are being blessed by this story, because you just said, I made a tough decision, but for the betterment of the kid. You know, and a lot of parents would see he can go in the NBA, maybe first round, let him go. But you made a decision based on, you don't have to love me for this decision, but I think this is the best for you. And this is what I told your mother, that I was going to look out for you. And I'm looking out for you just as like you were Marcus or Marquise. And I would do the same if they were in this position. So I want you to hold for a second, if you will, because I have a couple other callers that I want to hit. And can I come back to you?
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Angel. I'll be right back to you. Wow. This story could be a whole hour in and of itself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to transition to my main man in Philly, and I see you on the board, Purvis. We're going to come to you after Mark, Purvis. So I'm going to transition over to my man, Mark Macon, and hopefully my man Mark Macon's on the phone. Mark, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Mark
can
and I were chopping it up. Yes, I can hear you, brother. We were chopping it up yesterday about different books to read, and I got a lot of love for this brother, although I just met him. You know, we just started bonding over some things, and right now I told Mark, coaching job's coming, brother. You know, a coaching job is coming, and he said to me, we chuckled about this, but he said, I know, I guess I got to be your first interview, huh? I said, nah, Mark, you know, you could be my second one, man. But, Mark, listen, I want to go into the Final Four real quick and ask you, are you surprised that Kentucky's here?
You know what? I would say in the beginning I would have been, but no, not as they were playing towards the end of the season, no. Let me do one thing first, Dan. Let me applaud Angel. I think she made a parental decision. And that means a lot because you don't have a lot of parents. You have a lot of people who pretend to be parents, but you don't have a lot of parents. And she was a parent to that young man. Parent. And so that's a great thing, and that's a great tribute to her. And I just want to commend her on that and applaud her on that. But back to this Kentucky thing. In the beginning, no. But as they were playing during the end of the season, I thought they could get there, and you watch them, and they're matchup problems for a lot of teams. They really are. And with Cauley Stein, they were, and then they still were the last couple games they played. They've been playing really well.
Now, we transition into the Final Four. Obviously, we have Kentucky in there. We have Florida, who's the odds-on favorite right now. What do you think about Wisconsin? You know, it's interesting because we bring you sports from a black perspective. I'm going to tell you that somehow Wisconsin always is in the mix somehow. And if they don't look like the old Duke, and the old Duke now looks like, you might as well say Michigan, it's crazy how they have switched. Duke, you look on the court now, Duke's got five brothers. You look on the court, Wisconsin's got, at all time, four white dudes on the court. What are they able to do? Is it the backdoor screens? Is it the pop and shoot? What do you like about Wisconsin's game?
I like their system. I like their system. They have a system of openness on the floor. They know exactly what they're doing on the floor. They're screening for each other. They're like an old Indiana team when Bobby Knight was coaching there. They're screening for each other and looking for each other. They're playing together. They put, at all times, you got at least four shooters on the floor. And then you got three guys who can post up. You have three guys who can post up. You got four shooters on the floor. So that means if Kaminsky's not posting up, the other guy, the power forward, is posting up. And then he can spread. If Kaminsky drives, he can spread. So if you tend to stay on that box and help with Kaminsky driving, you'll kick it right back out to the power forward, who can shoot threes as well, who's one of the best athletes on the floor. And then you got a heady point guard in Jackson on the floor, but you got three other guys that are around him that play together. They really play basketball together. And then they have a defensive scheme as well. Their defensive scheme is they're playing that three-point line. And everybody else, you got one man guarding and four men watching. I like them from that standpoint. And me and my partner, we talked about them all season and for the last few years on a lot of the things that he did offensively when he had certain players. But now he has a group of guys that have been there and really play well together, and they drive, and they spread, and they pass, and they spread, and they set screens for each other, and they shoot the ball well, and they defend well, and that's the biggest thing. And he said it today, both said it today, as long as we don't have a shooting slump or anybody has a shooting slump, and we actually defend well, we'll be okay.
It's interesting that Jackson's son would go to Wisconsin and not Ohio State. I don't know what happened there. Obviously, there's not the same coach there. But it's interesting, and he runs the court well. He's a floor general, which brings me and allows me to transition to when we say a floor general. Napier, is he the best guard in the Final Four?
He's one of the best. I think he is the best guard at getting his own shot and also controlling his team. Remember, what guys fail to realize, this guy was one of the starting guards on a championship team 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He played
mm-hmm.
on that championship team 4 years ago. He was groomed by a great point guard, a great college point guard. He was groomed by him. And you can see what I like to say, you can see his skill work. And you can see what he does outside of practice, and the moves he makes. You can see those dribble drives and stuff he makes. You can tell that he's made those thousands and thousands of times. And I would like to say he's one of the better control ball guards who can get his own shot. He's a breakdown guard, what I like to call him. You know, this is a guy that can get his own shot. A lot of people can't do that. You don't have that many guys like that that play anymore, breakdown players. I think for me personally, I like Wilbekin. I really like Wilbekin because he controls that team. As he goes, they go. And the same goes for Napier, but they're just two totally different players. Napier can get a shot on anybody, whether you're big, small, or indifferent. He can get it. Wilbekin is just a control guy. He can get to the basket. He has a little size. He has strength. He shoots the shot when he opens. He doesn't take a lot of tough shots. He usually takes open shots. But Napier, as a breakdown guard, he's the better breakdown point guard at controlling this team. And Wilbekin, I think, is the better ball control point guard. But they both reflect their head coaches. They both reflect them. And you can see in games, if you watch the games, they're looking at their head coaches for information on the floor. They're looking at their coaches for information on the floor. And I love watching those two guys. Florida has been my pick the whole season to win it all. They have been my pick the whole season, but I just notice differences. I look at teams and what they have and what they don't have. And right now, most of these guys are playing eight guys. I think Kentucky may play nine, maybe, but normally eight guys. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't know what kind of question you have, but Florida can't get in foul trouble. Young can't get in foul trouble. If Young gets in foul trouble, they're in trouble. If he gets in they're in trouble.
A couple other questions I have for you, Mark, and it's always a pleasure, man. You're one of my favorites on the show. I see you, Purvis. We have Never Nervous Purvis on hold. Purvis, we coming up to you right after this segment, brother. Mark, let me ask you a question. You have Florida in the finals. Who do you have with Florida?
You know what? I had Louisville, but right now I got, and I'm squeaking it out, I got Kentucky.
And we all know the last time they played in the SEC championship was a one-point win by Florida. Does Florida win by more this time, or can Kentucky pull it out if that's the finals?
Well, being an educated guesser, because everybody's guessing, I'm going to say Florida's going to pull it out. I'm not going to – because they're my team. I'm not going to shy away from them. Trust me, I'm not going to shy away from them. I said what I said. I'm going with them, but they cannot get in foul trouble. Young can't get in foul trouble. I think that Kentucky has more pieces than a lot of guys. They have more pieces. Like, if the point guard gets in trouble at Kentucky, it's going to be something because he controls the game a lot as well. You know, he controls the game a lot as well. And it would be something with them. But I look at one guy coming off that bench, and that's Poistras. He can play two or three positions. He is the X factor for me on that team. The other guy that came in and played for Cauley Stein, he's been playing well during the tournament. Lee has come off, and he's been playing well. He played well the last game. You don't know how well he's going to play this upcoming game. But Poistras makes a difference to me. He's a sophomore. He plays hard. That's the guy I would see guarding Kaminsky. And then if they make it or when they make it to the finals, that's the guy that's going to be an X factor. He can be a difference on those teams. He really can be a difference. But I just don't see anybody beating Florida. And that's my pick. Florida could lose this next game. You know what I mean? They could lose. They could lose to UConn because UConn is playing balls out. They're playing very, very well. And those guards
now
control that game.
What I want to do, Mark, is I want to go to Never Nervous Purvis and get his thoughts on this. So give me a second, Mark. We'll come right back to you. Hey, Purvis, are you on the line?
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely. For those listeners that are out there that are huge Kentucky fans, I grew up as a Kentucky fan because Milt Wagner and Billy Thompson are from the area, from the neighborhood that I grew up in. So I had the pleasure of seeing Milt and Billy there. And then there was this young kid that was a freshman. And they said, he's never nervous. And so hence the nickname Never Nervous Purvis came about. Let me ask you, Purvis, thank you once again for joining us on the Dan Hardy Show. But who gave you the nickname Never Nervous Purvis?
Hey, first, let me say what's going on to my man Mark Macon. How you doing, Mark? Hadn't talked to Mark in a while. I'm not sure if he can hear me. I'm not sure if we're both on the line at the same time, but I just wanted to, you know, make sure I say, hey, what's going on, big fella? But anyway,
I'm going to give Mark a chance to come right back at you. Mark, you on the phone back? Are you with us, buddy? Hey, Mark. Do I have Mr. Macon on the phone? I guess Mark's on mute. So,
I think, yeah, it kind of mutes because that's what it did to me. Well, anyway, well, first we got to clean up a little bit. You keep talking about Kentucky. Now, I'm a Louisville grad. That's our rival school, so you got to be really careful when you're mentioning Kentucky in my presence. But
I know
hey,
that's
those guys.
Right.
But listen, I also want to tell you, you've got to have some friends in high places, because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but today is my birthday, and
yes,
it is
sir.
9 o'clock back
fact,
on the East Coast. I'm on the East Coast, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and I'm on a conference call with you. So you've got some friends in high places.
Well, brother,
but it's my pleasure doing the show, though.
It's greatly appreciated, obviously. And what I want Mark Macon to do, since you gave Mark a shout out, I bought Mark off of the mute, so Mark can return the favor, Mark. Never Nervous said he wanted to give a shout-out to his boy, Mark Macon.
Well, man, thank you very much, and shouts right back out to you. And happy birthday to you as well. As a matter of fact, I was just texting you that because my birthday is next Saturday.
No,
I knew it was something about you. I liked I knew something about you I liked.
Both Aries men. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Now, real quick, Purvis, if I could, do I call you Purvis, never nervous? Do I call you Mr. Ellison?
No. Let's very, very informed. Just call me. You can call me Never Nervous or call me Purvis.
Where's that nickname? Who gave you that nickname, Never Nervous?
You know what? You know what? It's funny. It was our the color commentary at the time when I was in college, and it's funny because I say all the time, it's, you know, the court size never changes. The court, the goals are 10 feet. And everybody in the stadium in Louisville, always the same faces, especially the court-side seating. So you get so comfortable in your element. So why be nervous? You know, you're not even thinking about anything because it's the environment, the love that you feel from the fan support. So that's why, you know, I just felt extremely comfortable on the court. And like I said, a gentleman by the name of Jock Sutherland gave me that nickname.
Purvis, take us back to your freshman year. What was the pressure like for you as a starter, and how were you able to adjust and handle that pressure? Because I believe you guys won a national championship the freshman year.
That's true. Well, some, the names that you named earlier, you know, I got to give those guys all the credit. Billy Thompson, Milt Wagner, Jeff Hall, and Robbie Valentine. They were the seniors on that ball club, and they definitely were the catalysts. You know, I was a freshman, and ironically, the entire Sweet 16, the first round, Billy Thompson pretty much carried us. I think he was averaging 22 points, 10 rebounds, and then even in the semifinal first round game. He led us in scoring with 20 points. I just happened to have, you know, the championship game. I had, one of the better games in my college career. And, you know, I was able to get the MVP trophy. But, you know, I got to give those guys all the credit because they were the seniors on that team. And they really, really made us focus in. A lot of people may not know, but, you know, we had seven freshmen on that ball club. And four of us were playing significant minutes. So, you know, that senior leadership really, really paid big dividends for us. That's why I give, you know, Coach Cal a lot of credit with the University of Kentucky, because to be able to win with kids right out of high school, that is extremely difficult. So, you know, my hat's off to that program because they do a great job at preparing those kids and, you know, sort of helping them bridge the gap with the learning curve so that they could be ready by the time tournament starts.
Let me ask you, tell me about your decision to stay for all 4 years. After the second year, you'd have been a lottery pick, but you decided to stay all 4 years. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what was your thought process around that, and why did you stay all 4 years?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think at the time that wasn't a discussion that was even had. There weren't players that were coming out then. You know, I think prior to that, you had Michael Jordan leaving his junior year. Then you go before that, you got to go 10 years prior to that when the Moses Malone and the Bill Willoughbys and those guys came out. So it was something that really wasn't prevalent in the game at that particular time. So so I think now, you know, times have just changed. Obviously, with the rule change now, you know, the kids got to go to college for one particular year. So to be honest, you know, my thought process, there was none in terms of leaving early because there wasn't a history of that.
Interesting. What advice would you give to some of these freshman phenoms that are out there now, the Jabari Parkers, the Wiggins, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, make sure they got family surrounding. You know, I think, you know, obviously it's a tough decision. you know, it's a tough decision, but you have to make the decision not based around monetary decision, I believe. I think if you base the decision on are you mentally prepared, you know, do you understand the rigors that are going to happen in an 82-game season playing in the NBA? Do you truly understand how to be a true professional? And if you can check all those boxes, yes, then I think a young man should have the opportunity to go ahead and declare to play in the NBA. Truly check those boxes. But if not, if it's strictly a monetary decision, then I say no. I say because if you haven't done, you know, done your background check to understand exactly what you're in for, then a lot of times, you know, you can run into some issues because, you know, you're an 18-year-old kid and there are a lot of distractions. So I think if you're prepared, then, I will definitely tell, you know, those young men to, you know, follow their dreams and go for it. But make sure you're ready.
That's good advice. First overall pick of the draft when you came out. You suffered some knee problems. Unfortunately, you played half of the season your first year. You were drafted by Sacramento. Then you were traded, but you were the most improved player when you were traded. You averaged 20 points and 11 rebounds. Tell me how much of a hindrance was your knees. And if you didn't have those knee problems, obviously we never want to live in if and buts, but if you didn't have the knee problems, do you think your career would have been a 20-10 double-double man?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, you know, unfortunate, you know, I did have the injuries. But I think, God has, you know, his purpose. You know, at the present time, you know, I'm coaching at a Christian Christian private school here in New Jersey. And I think, you know, it's just a process that you go through in life. I think, you know, it's definitely difficult because, you know, when you are an elite athlete and all of a sudden you can't do the things that you're used to doing physically, you know, it can affect you emotionally. And it did. It was tough because, like you said, I went from you know, averaging 20-10, and then it just kept declining. 20-10, it went down to my third year, I believe, was not my fourth year was 18-10, then fifth year, 17, and then at that point in time, it was, you know, the knees were definitely an issue at that time. But, you know, you don't look back. You don't look back like that. You just look forward. I enjoyed my time playing in the NBA, and I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to play in the NBA. I think, you know, the relationships that you build, you know, throughout your basketball career, you know, those relationships are things that you never lose. So, you know, that's why, you know, I had to give a shout-out to my man Mark Macon that was on earlier. I think, you know, you just don't look back, and you just look forward. You know, I've got three beautiful kids, two that actually play the game. My daughter will be.
Now you're stealing my thunder because Seattle is one of your daughters, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I do some homework, Purvis, so you can't do my show for me.
My bad. Well, let me just send my apologies then. But you know I'm going to always talk about babies. They got to do that. But there are no babies now, you know.
I got a reporter out of New Jersey that said his daughter ran against your daughter and your daughter smoked him. And so
yeah,
I hear you have phenomenal athletes, and if I'm correct, one of your daughters going to either is or on her way to University of Maryland.
That's correct. You know, it's funny. Basketball was something that the kids never played growing up. you know, when they were young, when I say young, from ages 5 to, say, 13, there was no basketball dribbling going on. It was all track and field. Their mom was a full scholarship athlete at the University of Maryland, and she ran track. And needless to say, who's the boss in the house? So the kids all participated in track and field. And then all of a sudden, my middle daughter, Asia, I remember as plain as day, she was her eighth grade was over, and she was going to high school. But that summer, she came up and she said, "Dad, I want to play some basketball." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, okay." So I put her on one of those AAU traveling teams, and she went down that weekend. She went down to what they call Boo Williams down in Virginia. She went there, she played, and when she came back, now this was a weekend, when she came back that Tuesday, she had probably about 70 letters from different universities. And she just fell in love with the game. And so she's on a learning curve, you know, trying to develop her skill sets and everything. But she's a phenomenal athlete, and you're correct. She will be attending the University of Maryland next year.
I try to do. When I come to Jersey, because my high school reunion, 30th high school reunion, is this year. So mm-hmm. I'm going to get with you, Greco, and Mark, and I'm going to take y'all out to dinner. Now, I'm not going to say where it is, but we're not going to go to the big steakhouse, but we'll go to the medium steakhouse.
Okay, as long as it's not going to have two golden arches, will it?
It's not going to have two golden arches. Now, I'm going to go back to Angel in a second, but before I go back to Angel and Mark, Nervous, I did the same thing with Mark, so I'm going to give you my hit it and quit it segment, and I'm going to rapid fire some questions to you, and the first thing that comes to mind, you got to shoot out. Here we go. The one thing you regret not doing in college is what?
Ooh. Man, I've got no regrets in college. My experience at Louisville was great. Believe me, it was fantastic.
No problem. Next question. Favorite basketball movie of all time?
Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Oh, with Moses Guthrie.
Yeah. Yes, I like that and Fast Break. Remember the Fast Break with Bernard King?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who should be on the basketball Mount Rushmore?
Are you going to give me the names?
No, I want you to give me the four.
Oh, okay. You want me to give? Okay. Can the player be current?
Absolutely. It's your Mount Rushmore.
Okay. I just want to know what the rules are. We're gonna start with Wilt Chamberlain. We're gonna put Wilt Chamberlain there. One. We're going to put Magic Johnson there. Two. We're gonna put Michael Jordan there. Three.
And you're number four.
That last one's pretty tough because I've got a couple names that's just bouncing around. I got Kareem, I got Oscar, I got Larry Bird, and I got Jerry West.
Yeah, give me one.
Mm-hmm. You know what? The man averaged a triple double. But I'm gonna put the man that's on the uniform. The man that's on the basketball. I'm gonna put Jerry West up there. Yes.
Okay, now we're rounding this thing out. The three best big men of all time, in your opinion, are who?
Oh, the three best is Kareem, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay, last couple of questions. Your favorite rap group?
of all time.
Yes, sir. Run
see,
DMC.
We come to different stuff for you, Purvis.
Run DMC.
Your boy Mark Macon said Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, you can't go wrong with that.
You
could have threw.
You could have threw Houdini. You could have threw a lot of folks out there.
Oh yeah. You could even put the Beastie Boys in that.
Ooh, you. She's crafty. She's crafty. She's just right. I like that. Mark, the last question: who wins the championship on Monday?
Ooh. Well, first we got to get through the Final Four. Needless to say, my brackets are I picked two of the Final Four teams, but I picked both for the Final Four teams to actually lose in the Final Four, so not to get to the championship. I had Kentucky, and I also had Florida, but I had Florida losing to Michigan State, and I had Kentucky losing to Arizona. But I'm going to go with
pump the brakes. Pump the brakes, Purvis. You didn't have Louisville in the Final Four?
No, I actually had that game, Kentucky beating Louisville.
Can you go back
and
to
reason,
Louisville?
The reason I had that, I was, you know, I was pulling. Now, obviously, we're talking about my bracket, so I got to tell you about the bracket first. But before I tell you about the bracket, obviously, I was pulling for Louisville. But I knew that if Kentucky beat Wichita State, I thought we could beat Wichita State. But I didn't think we could beat Kentucky because I was at our Kentucky game when we played in Rupp Arena. And the size, people don't understand how big Kentucky is. Kentucky guards are 6'6", 6'6". This is their starting lineup, 6'8", 6'9", 7 feet. They are big, long, and athletic with tremendous skill set. I'm gonna go with them. I think it's gonna be tough for Florida to beat them four times in a season, and I'm gonna go with Kentucky.
Well, Purvis, I'm gonna let you. One, let me just say this: thank you for on your birthday taking time out to kick it with the Ben Hardy Show, and I appreciate that, brother, because it means a lot to us. I send a shout-out to Del Greco because, Del Greco, whenever we need something, man, this guy tries his best to get you guys on the line, and he's coming through
for
us.
He's a great guy. You know, I think, you know, he does so much in the community from an educational standpoint. It's a wonderful thing what he does. You know, he does a bunch of tutoring in the inner city and, you know, Dale just preaches academics. He preaches academics, and I'm thankful that that he's around my program, because you know when you get an opportunity to talk to Dale, Dale's not going to ask you what your point average is. He's going to ask you what your GPA is, and that's something that's always needed when you're dealing with young people.
Well, once again, Purvis. Mr. Ellison, never nervous, Purvis. I will make sure, man, I'm going to try to reach out to Milton Billy, and I'm going to have a Louisville reunion. And
how
when I
that?
Reach out to those two, you're going to have to come back and chop it up with the four of us.
All right. It's been my pleasure.
Hey, Purvis, much love for you, brother, and good luck out there, and good luck with your daughters. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing one of them on TV next year playing in Maryland.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, brother. Much love. Now, I see you, Mark. Mark, I'm going to come back to you in a second. But I had the angel that fell from the sky on hold too long. Like Mark Macon said, Angel, are you still with me? Hello, Angel. I guess Angel is walking around. Angel, are you with me, Angel? All right. I guess Angel has left the building like Elvis. But, Mark,
no,
you
I'm
there?
Here.
Angel, you there?
Yes.
Angel. All right, Angel,
yes.
Listen. You heard Mark Macon say, wow. He wanted to just give a lot of love to you because of the parenting that you did and some of the tough decisions. I have Mark on the line. We're all on the line together. Angel, I just want you to give, if there's something that you can give to the parents that are listening, the single mothers that are out there that have a child that's going to the next level, what's some of the advice that you would give them after all that you've been through?
Well, first I want to say thank you, Mark, and I want to say happy early birthday and happy birthday to Purvis. One thing I would want to say to the parents is to make sure that your children are very humble and going through this process. Also, just pray a lot and get through it the best way that you can. God is out there and He'll answer your prayers, and you just have to be humble people and you'll get through it. It's a process, but you'll get through it.
Let me ask you a question.
And one more thing. Let the coaches be coaches, like we're doctors and radio hosts and entrepreneurs. Let the coaches coach the children.
Let me ask you a question. You know, I got to have a moment right now. I'm having a moment. The Twins are on Phoenix. I watched them play last night. What one needs more mom love, Marcus or Marquis? Who calls more and says, Mom, I need to talk to you?
Marquis. Marcus. You made me put my baby out there, but Marquis does. Marcus is more of the child that does he does the finance. Put it like this: Marcus takes care of Marquis. That's it. That's all. He does everything. He takes care of Marquis.
Now, has it always been like that with little guys?
Always been like that. I always preach, though, where's my baby? How's my baby? What is my baby doing? And Marquis would always be like, he okay? I guess he is, because he's doing everything for you. So he does everything.
That's a beautiful thing that you have going. I mean, Del Greco has told me that your kids are so well raised, they're well mannered. Excuse me, they're so well mannered, and that hats off to you. You know, because that starts at the household, and I just wish the best and the most success for not only Marcus and Marquise, but also Mr. Robinson, Thomas as well. And I know there's a lot on your plate, so you're juggling between two cities, because I know you have to go to Portland at times or be around Portland at times to make sure that Thomas is taken care of.
Absolutely. I was supposed to go to Portland today. And when the boys get together, it's just a household of all of them. And I didn't want to do that this time. I just wanted to watch them from afar and let them enjoy each other. And then it's almost playoff time. On my hands and knees every night, hoping that Phoenix make it to the playoffs. But I know Portland is going to, so I'll be traveling sooner than later, because playoff times is right around the corner.
Well, you make sure if the playoffs stop here in L.A., you give me a call, because if you don't, Del Greco will say, you mean my people was out in L.A. and you didn't take care of my people?
I
so
promise
you're in
I will.
L.A., you make sure that you give me a call and we'll get together.
I will. I want to say one more thing. Del Greco is a god. Del Greco is a godsend. That guy is it's hard to describe him, but he's a phenomenal guy too. And I thank you for having me on the show. And I'm blessed to just know Del. So any time that you want to talk to me, any parents that you want me to talk to, I'm more than willing. I don't care about the phone. I don't care about the phone number. I mean, at any time, if there's a parent that want to talk to me, I'm always open for conversation.
Well, Angel, may God bless you, because you are blessing so many other people's lives, and I know there's a lot behind the scenes that we don't even know about that you've done for your kids, for family members, for parents. So we just appreciate you, and thank you for stopping by on the Dan Hardy Show, and we'll be in touch. Have a good night tonight.
Thank you. You do the same.
Hey, Mark. Is my brother Mark still on the phone?
You got me, brother. You got me.
Hey, Mark, man. Hey, Del Greco, are you on the phone, too?
How you doing, man? Yeah, you know, I don't miss the show, man. I don't miss the show.
Hey, how did he get on the phone?
Hey, Del Greco, I went to you earlier today. I thought there was alarms were going off. The gates were swinging back. I mean, you know, that's what happens when you live in a gated community like that. See, alarms and everything go off, man. You got to be like me, just live in the community where the mailman and everybody can come to your front door, and, you know. So I don't get all that sound and noise making and alarms going on. You know, you must be I was going to call you Uncle Phil, because you may be in Bel Air somewhere, the way that things were sound. I had to put you on mute, brother. Hey, Del, as you could hear, everybody spoke so highly of you, man. Listeners, go to his website. If you have a child that's in between transitioning from junior high to high school, and you know that there is something or some academic assistance they use, then please don't wait to the last minute, as Angel was saying. Don't wait to the last minute, because now you could be forfeiting $40,000-$50,000 a year for your kid's tuition. So, Del, once again, tell them the website to go to.
www.delgreco.com.
Okay, now I'm going to have this face-off between you and Mark. And the question becomes the NBA. Mark, is San Antonio the truth? Will they win the championship this year, or will they fall short?
They're the truth, but I can't say they're going to win a championship. I won't say that. I don't even know if they're going to make it, because you have to beat a team. You have to beat a team four times. You have to beat a team four times when you're playing in that league. And there's some tough teams. I think their system and their scheme is great. But I look at it from a whole different standpoint. I look at it from a financial standpoint and a business standpoint. And you want to get the most fan-ready teams there. The fan base for Miami is great. And now the fan base, not only for Oklahoma, but the fan base for the Clippers is great. So one of those teams are going to be knocking at the door for those things, but you still got to beat one of those teams four times. You got to beat them four times.
So I don't think so. I don't think they're going to win the whole thing, but that's me. I'm making an educated guess.
Del Greco, what's your perspective on that?
First, I want to say that.
First of all, what's that noise in the background? Are you changing a motor out, or are you dropping a transmission?
It's my fault, or you on the speaker. Let me take you off the speaker then. Is that better, man?
Hey, Mark, I don't know what chores he has when he comes home. He could be dropping a transmission, changing the oil. But the beauty of Del Greco is he going to do the work and still call in on the show.
But I want to make it publicly known that Angel, Mark, and Purvis are my very dear friends. And that when I talked to Dan and I was thinking about people that might be interesting to his audience, I realized that, you know, some of my very best friends would be of interest to the audience, and I knew they would do it because I've called upon all three of them at different points and times over the years, and they've always stepped up. And, I mean, they don't hesitate, they don't blink, they don't hem, they don't haw. It's all good. I could call Mark. He'd be in a hotel on the road chasing some kid for bringing him to university, and he always answers that phone, and he has time to really consider whatever it is I'm calling him about. So I love these guys.
Appreciate you, man.
Angel's sons, I want her to know. I never told her this, but I run into her sons all over the city. You know, I may have helped. I don't know. I can't even count them no more. It's well over 100 kids that I've been involved with that I've seen go on to college and do different things. Her sons, the most of the time I see them, they'll be together. And I'm telling you, every time I see her sons, they make a point. They pull me to the side, and they say, yo, man, you all right? You all right? And I know what they need. You know, do you need anything? You want anything? You want? Can I help you in any kind of way? And I just say, I'm all right. I'm all right every time. But, I mean, this has happened at least 8 or 10 times over the last couple of years. When I see them, they pull me to the side, and they just want to know, are you all right? And I really, really appreciate that. And not every young man that you help when they on the other side and they're doing well, they just don't think like that. And that goes back to, again, what Angel was talking about, just parenting. And she does an outstanding job. Now, as far as these NBA playoffs, man, it's hard to follow the NBA when you live in Philadelphia, Dan. You got no motivation, man. We don't have an NBA team, man.
And one thing I will say, and Mark, you probably could appreciate this, there is no Sean Bradley in this draft, so you can't screw that one up.
Well, I hope Parker come on out, though. If they can use him more than Duke can, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying, there's no Sean Bradley, brother.
Nah, he can't mess this one up. But I think Mark has a real good point about San Antonio coming out of West. You know, they know how to win. You know, Tim Duncan, I think, over his 17-year career, I saw a stat where he has the highest winning percentage of any player ever in the NBA. The guy just wins and wins and wins. And you keep waiting to see a deterioration in his ability to contribute and make things happen out there, and it just hasn't happened yet. You know, his legs haven't given out, his body hasn't given out, his mind hasn't given out. But I really just see Durant or Blake or even Dwight in Houston. You know, some of these young guys, it's just their time to make a push, you know. And once those teams get over the hump, you know, Oklahoma's been there knocking on the door a couple of times. Last year, Durant had to try to do it by himself. If they can keep everybody healthy, I'd love to see Oklahoma City or the Clippers make a real run at Indiana or Miami coming out of the East.
Now, speaking about Indiana coming out of the East, I believe they're 8-10 8-10 in the month of March. I guess my question is, a lot of rumors are, is Stevenson, they're talking about, George, his personal problems off the court. Let me ask you guys collectively, do you see Indiana righting this ship as they move into the playoffs, or Do you see them possibly getting ousted in the second round of the playoffs, possibly in the East?
Let me go first, Del Greco. I think with Indiana, I think it's a thing now with meshing. I think when they made those trades, you thought those guys were going to come in and kind of help right away. I think with them, it's just meshing those guys together. You don't know how well Turner's going to play, where he's going to play, how he's going to fit in. You got the young boy there. You don't know how well Bynum's going to do for them or what he's going to do for them. You don't know if they're holding him to playoff time or what. They're having some internal problems. I'm not going to put it on whether George is having outside problems, because that's a lot of media stuff. Media likes to – they like to start, you know, trouble and get the guys, because guys are now media adept. They want to listen to other people outside of them. You can't do that. I think they have internal problems with meshing right now, and they're not playing defense the way they used to, you know, and then certain guys just are not doing certain things. I really think that they're going to come on right around playoff time, but I don't see them beating Miami. I really don't see it. And the only reason I don't see it is because it goes higher than just guys playing. It's who is going to be a greater fan base. Who's going to watch more? Now, them in Miami in the conference finals, oh, that's a great conference final, because you got David and Goliath going up against each other. You got the kids that want to get over the hump, playing against the kids that have been over the hump and to the top of the hill three times. But when it comes down to it, if I am a businessman and I'm a TV mogul, I got to have Miami in that finals. Why? Because it's going to be millions and millions of people watching. It's going to be millions of people watching that love them and millions of people watching that hate them. You know, and that's the team that you want to see in there. But I see Indiana as a great team once they do, like Del Greco said, with these young guys coming out of L.A. and Oklahoma. Once they do get over the hump like Michael Jordan did with Detroit, it's going to be hard to stop them. But they got to get over the hump. They got to mesh. And right now they're not meshed. And they got to stay healthy as well. They got to be healthy. You don't know if guys are injured or not.
Greco, what do you got, buddy?
Wow, I'm impressed by the way that Mark was able to not explicitly, but more or less implicitly, kind of say that the NBA might have a rooting interest here. You know, he did it real smooth. Did you hear that? Like, if I was a mogul, I'd want to see X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, is this a former player saying that, you know, the NBA may have a rooting interest here? You know, that they don't do that. They just play the games. That's what I was told.
Well, I was told that Indiana is the mother of basketball.
Not for national TV audience, though. And, you know, we talking with a guy that suited up for about, I don't know, 7-8 years. You talking about 500-700 games, and he saw the refs blow the whistle at certain times and everything. So maybe we get some inside information here, Dan, if we listen closely, you know. And I'm always listening closely when shaking.
Some inside stuff.
Talking,
so I guess I need to ask Mark, why in the heck isn't the Knicks making the championship every 4 years?
Every 4 years. You know what? Once again, You got to look at fan base. You really got to look at fan base. I mean, just because they're in a media area doesn't mean they got great fan base. They got great fans, but do they have great fan base? Is a lot of people turning the television on to watch the Knicks? No. Why? Because they win and they lose. They might lose to the worst team in the conference and then come back and have a hard game against the second worst team. And then they may beat a good team or a fairly decent team, and then they might go 3 or 4 in a row and lose, and then come back and beat a team like Houston. But nobody's watching them. They don't have a Ewing on the team. You see what I'm saying? They don't have an Allen Iverson. I mean, not an Allen Iverson, but an Allen Houston on the team. They don't have those faces on the team anymore. I think Carmelo is one of the greatest one-on-one threats in the whole NBA. But the image that they portray of him is not a Allen Houston image. It's not a Ewing image, you know. And I say Ewing because Ewing was the big man coming out of college, and he was this mean force. But he was one of the most beautiful guys when you got a chance to speak to him, and when he played on the floor, he did his job. But off the floor, he was a great dude. And I'm not saying that Carmelo isn't. But the image they've given him for the last 5 or 6 years has not been a great image. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, and then you got New York is almost as rough as Philly when it comes to players. If they love you, they hate you. Ah man, they own you. They own your neck. And those people just don't think that he really wants to be there, regardless if he says it or not that he wants to be there. It's the inference he gives a lot of times, you know, I'm going to opt out this year, blah, blah. That ain't cool for a lot of people. That's not a great thing, and that's not a great image for a place like New York. New York wants to win. They're not going to win championships because they don't have the right pieces. And even in that media mogul place, everybody's not tuning in to watch the Knicks like they used to. It's baseball season now. They tuning in to watch Jeter finish up.
Yeah.
The Zen Master, does he turn it around?
I mean that's upstairs. He just has to make the right pick, make the right trade. I think he'll have a lot to do with guys getting together, but why come downstairs when you're upstairs making $12 million? Come downstairs to run a team. You gotta get the right coach in there. And I'm not saying that Woodson isn't. I love Woodson as a coach. But guys, coaches don't play. Players play. Phil Jackson had great players when he played. He wouldn't coach if he didn't have great players. And that's not to say that he's not a great coach. He had Michael Jordan. He had Scottie Pippen. And he had Medical Bill. He had Shaq, Kobe, and he had one of his favorite guards, Harper, playing for him. You see what I'm saying?
Both locations.
People forget how good Harper was when Harper came out of college. Harper was killing Dr. J. He was going at it with Michael Jordan. Really good, man. And then he defended. He lost some of his luster as a scorer in Cleveland and ended up getting traded, but he never lose who he was. He never lost that. So Phil Jackson's always had great players. He's always had great players around him, and I appreciate him for that. I think he's great at making guys or molding guys. I think he's a great psychologist. I really do. I think he can put guys together and kind of keep guys even keeled. He knows how to play in between guys. Like, I think Coach Chaney was great at that. I think that Patino's great at that in his own way. I think Calipari, I think all the coaches are great at that, and then they also have great assistant coaches. But you're upstairs now. He has to be able to do it by choosing somebody like Pat Riley did with his coach, where he can groom him. You know what I mean? He has to choose that right person. And he can do that same thing with Woodson, but he has to empower Woodson, you know what I mean, to say, listen, if you don't like these guys, we're getting rid of them. Point blank, we need some guys in here that's going to play for you. You see what I'm saying? And then if you want to keep Carmelo, you got to build around him. And you got to have him make some decisions too, but not all decisions. And anytime he get out of hand, you got to listen. If he want to leave, you got to let him leave, man. You got to let him leave because that's not going to make his image any good. I mean, I hate to be taking all the Greco's shine, but it's not. I mean, look at it like this, and Look at Carmelo Anthony and his image, and look at Dwight Howard from a couple years ago, his image. He still doesn't have a great image because it seems like he never wanted to be the man. He always wanted to be the Robin to Batman, that guy
that's smiling and laughing all the time and having look like he's having fun. But he never wants to be a guy that has to step up and make big decisions. You see what I'm saying? A lot of guys want to win championships, but they don't want to be the man to take a championship.
Yeah, that responsibility is something, man. It's something.
Yeah.
It's a heavy burden to carry.
Yeah.
It's a heavy burden to carry in any competitive sport. You know, I know Greco, you guys played basketball. I played baseball. You know, even to the dumbed down version of a step show. Everybody don't want to be the stepmaster. Everybody don't want to be in front of that judge when it's 2,000, 3,000 folks at the step show. Everybody don't want to be in the front. You know, I'll be in the back. You know, I'll do my thing in the back. But when I'm in front of the judge, I don't know if I want to be in front. You know, so I get what you're saying because, Mark, by the way, I never dropped my cane, Mark. You can be proud of me for that. Never dropped the cane, though.
Well, all right, but did you drop anything else though? You might have held on to the cane. Did you slip and fall?
hey, Greg could tell you that's one thing I could finger roll. Ah, that's one thing a brother can do. Finger roll. Hey man, we have fun, but we gotta run. Hey Greco, man, I can't express the words. You know, we talk all the time. I much love for you, man, and some of the things that you've done for me. I appreciate it. You know, Mark, you know, you're a class act, man. You're just a class dude, man. I asked you to come back on the show. I told Greco it was not even a question. He's like, yo, no problem. I said, I'm going to try to get you off in time for Scandal. You said, don't worry about it. I'm taping it. And I'm not going to say who told me, but Lil Birdie said, Mark watches Scandal.
I'm not going to say who told me that, but I
fixed it up for you, Mark, because I said he watches it to see how we are being portrayed.
I fixed it up for you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, great, Dad. I think we'd be remiss if we don't know that. Without question, we had two of the best college players from the 80s and the 90s on this show tonight, and it's just a pleasure to hear their perspective this time of year. You know, time flies, but I remember very, very clearly, you know, really getting into the NCAA tournament because Coach Chaney would have Temple making one of those deep, deep runs all the way through the tournament, and I watched Mark do it twice. So, you know, it's just a pleasure to count him as my friend, and I always get reminded of it this time of year. And, Mark, hopefully we can get these Owls back on track, man.
You know what's
just
right?
Mark making for the Temple Owls job. I'm putting it out right now.
I appreciate that, guys. Hey, Greg, hey, man, it's a pleasure. And Dan, I don't just talk basketball, man. I talk all sports. I talk a little bit of everything. Trust me, I look at it from a whole different perspective.
I felt that when you was making some. Greg said, "Listen closely, man. He's telling us something that some undercover Agent Zero kind of stuff right here." I would agree, Mark. I would agree, Greco. Man, we had two of the best college players during that time, and it's my pleasure, man, to get to know you guys, and I'm looking forward to having dinner with you brothers when I come out to Jersey for my 30th year reunion. I'm on the treadmill now. I'm eating right, you know, because when you come back, you can't be the guy that's the guy. Like, look, there's that guy. He's bald. He's out of shape. So I'm hitting the treadmill like George Jetson. In Uniblab. So that's how I'm hitting the treadmill. And so when I see you guys, it's going to be good to go and have a steak somewhere and kick back and to chop it up. Man, once again, Greco, Mark, man, it's a pleasure having you on the Dan Hardy Show. Mark, since you told me that you're into sports, this won't be his last time. I think we're going to have Mark at least once a month.
I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. I talk about it all. Just make sure you hit me on what we're talking about, because I watch everything from tennis to hockey. Not a lot of hockey, though, but I watch baseball because I love baseball. I definitely watch basketball, and I do a little golf. I don't play it, but I'll watch every now and then. But Tiger ain't playing now, so I ain't going to be watching too much. Tiger back is hurting. I ain't watching. His back is hurting.
This week, this time next week, tune in as Mark Macon brings us WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's right. I do a little of that, too. Bobo Vazir and all those kind of guys.
Any Superfly Snooker's retired, man. That used to be my man. He's off the ropes now. But brothers, one love. We'll be in touch. For the listeners, hopefully you had a great time. May God bless you during the week. Peace, love, and we'll talk to you real soon on the Dan Hardy Show. We're out.
Later, guys.
Peace.